read just a few verses, if you will, with us and see what Luke has devised for us. He said, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul, gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Canidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome. And hardly passing by it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Alesia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and on the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinis, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us today, and thank you for all of your good blessings, all of the sweet spirit and the good songs, all those things that we've enjoyed, the fellowship, the worship here tonight. And I pray you just get honor and glory and praise out of it. And will you just speak to our hearts and help us to be your servants and be loved by you and realize that we have nothing that will separate us from the love of Christ. We love you and we thank you for that tonight. And we give you praise. Save that one that's lost. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look here, and we'll just look at these first 13 verses as we get into this, and we'll just simply call this Paul's voyage to Rome, because that's the way this thing starts out. We're going to start out with Paul in his launch, if you will. He's getting out into the trip where he's going to be doing the will of God, and he's going to be being a witness for him. But we know that this is going to be the end of the road for Paul. I mean, obviously we know it from the other side because we know the history. We know that Paul's going to go and that Caesar is going to deny his appeal and find him as one of those of that way and going to have him put to death. And you know, just looking at that, we realize where it's headed. But can I tell you, I don't think any of it's bothering Paul at all. I believe Paul is just saying, man, I just want to go do this thing. I want to go do what God wants me to do, and I'm on my way. And the Lord told me I'm going to stand before the emperor of the whole world, the known kingdom. And man, I'm thrilled to death to be able to tell him about the gospel story of Jesus. Amen? I believe that's the way Paul is looking at this. And this account here just gives us some evidence of Paul and the perils. But, you know, this story in chapter 27 is mainly about how God delivers his children. What God does for them in some times of, well, here's a physical storm. You and I may be going through some battles and some storm, but can I tell you, woo, God's going to bring you through. Now, Paul didn't know how, Paul didn't understand the minute parts of it, but he just knew God said, here's what you're going to do, and God will see me through.
Amen.
Amen? I don't think Paul understood all of this beforehand. He just knew what God had told him. He just knew what God had revealed to him, that he was going to do these things. He just didn't know all the little steps and the fill-ins in between all of that, but he was ready just to do what God wanted him to nonetheless. But anyway, we see here Paul, and we picture Paul, and when you get the picture of him in this chapter, and, you know, really just maybe from his whole life, but particularly here, you see Paul. Paul becomes the leader. I mean, he is the leader. And, you know, it's like, well, and we read it already. It talks about, you know, you got the captain of the ship. And you've got the centurion of the Roman band. But all of a sudden, Paul comes forth as the man that's in prison on his way to stand for a trial before Caesar. All of a sudden, he becomes a leader of the whole thing. Everybody starts listening to him. Everybody has respect to him. And everybody understands there's something different about this guy. Amen? What I'm saying is, friend, you and I have that same ability to influence others as Paul did. And I'm not saying you're some kind of big shot and I'm some kind of big shot. I'm just saying, man, we ought to let them know where we stand. We ought to let them know God's in control. And can you see that, Paul? Paul just, he becomes that leader. But also you see him as an encourager. He becomes the encourager of others. He helps other people through some of these hard times. It's in his life, but it's also in their lives. So that's what's going on tonight. And, you know, you see him when you look at him here, and we're going to see him in through all of this. He's going to be bold. He's going to be calm. And you're going to see what it means to really trust God. I mean, you're going to see that. And, man, I just think it's spectacular. All right? So first of all, let's look at this as we jump into it in the first several verses. And we'll see Paul as he and this whole crew, they're setting sail. I mean, they're getting ready to ship out. And when it was determined, verse number one, that we should sail into Italy, they, which means the previous folks, that would be Festus and all the people there that are guarding him in Caesarea, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So, first of all, let's look at this, if you will. Let's look at the crew that is here with Paul, okay? We got Paul. We know we got him, all right? And then the Bible also tells us that there are certain other prisoners with them. Paul's not the only guy that's going to go see Caesar. There's some other men that are going to go stand, and they're going to stand for their crimes, for what they have done. They're going to go, and they'll do the same thing that Paul does. They will make their appeal. Now, somebody has said this as a historian or a person knows a whole lot more about this than I do, and they said Paul is probably, not absolutely sure, but probably the only Roman citizen out of this brigade of criminals, out of these that are being transported and going to be tried. Paul's probably the only one that is a Roman citizen. Because if you remember, we talked about that. Roman citizenship held a lot of advantages. And one of the advantages was it was awfully hard to convict or to find some problems with a Roman citizen without a whole lot of documentation. These other folks, other kind of common criminals, but they could flat lay the penalty and the problem on them. So here's a whole crew of them. It's Paul, and it's a group of criminals with him, a group of other prisoners. And then there's a fellow by the name of Julius, who is a centurion, it tells us, of Augustus' band. And then who else do we have? Well, it says that in that very beginning, when it was determined that we should sail. Well, the we includes Paul, and it also includes the fellow that's doing the writing here, who is a fellow by the name of Luke, the doctor. And you know that story, how that he's gone on a lot of the journey of the missionary work with Paul. And then if you look in verse number 2, it says, "And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail close by the coast of Asia." And it says, it gives us a little more information. It says, "One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us." So the whole crew includes criminals, Paul, Luke, the centurion and his band, his group, the sailors, and then we've got this one other guy that we're just not real sure who Aristarchus is. But Paul mentions him a couple other times in some of his writings. Aristarchus is one of the men that went with him when he took the offering that was taken up in the Gentile areas when he took it back to Jerusalem. So Aristarchus, this seems to be a man that is kind of a right-hand man and a trusted friend and a good Christian companion to Paul in his mission work. So we've got these folks, and that's who we're dealing with. So that's the crew. But I want you to notice, secondly, beyond we talk about the crew that's with Paul, I want you to notice the next thing that it says. There were some courtesies shown to Paul. It says in verse number 3, "And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." When they pulled into this port, now they're sailing along. They've left Caesarea. As a matter of fact, we'll get there in just a minute. But, let's talk about that. The course. You're going to see the course that Paul is following. I mean, you hear all the names of these places. You're hearing all of this. But I want you to notice that the centurion gives Paul some courtesies. In other words, when they pull into this port of Sidon, when they get there, the centurion allows Paul to go to his friends that are there in that city and fellowship with them. It said allowed him to refresh himself. He gets to go to them and they fellowship with him. Now, somebody said that this is probably a city, and if you can see it as they're leaving on their way here, let me see if I can reach over. Here is Sidon. They have left down here at Caesarea Maritima. They have left and they've gone to Sidon. This is as far as they've got. And when they get here, they're doing something, probably pick up cargo, probably do something for the ship, whatever it is. And as they're there, that bond that somehow has built between Paul and this centurion, and he says, "You know what? I'm going to let you go, and if you've got some folks here, and Paul said, "I know some people I can go fellowship with. Will it be all right?" "Yeah, go ahead. I trust you." Isn't it amazing how that God can work in some of these Gentile and people that are unbelievers' heart? Can I tell you this, though? I think Paul's done a little preaching on the way there, don't y'all? I believe he's done a little preaching on the way. And somehow God has softened the heart of this centurion. And he's allowed Paul to go and fellowship. And as Paul goes in, he finds some people there. And you know who I think some of the people Paul finds when he goes into Sidon are? Now, if you'll look at it and think about this, here is Jerusalem, the area of Judea, down in here, Jerusalem, Antipolis, and Caesarea Maritima. You got all those areas. These are some of the areas that Paul went to when he put people in jail before he became Paul. When he was Saul, these are some of the areas. He might have even gone there to Sidon and put some of those dear saints in the jail or threaten them or beat them or whatever all he may have done to them. But now you know what he does? He goes in and he has a chance to fellowship with them. Woo, ain't that good? Can I tell you, there is nothing any better in this world than for you to get together with the saints of God and you look at them and say, "Can I tell y'all I'm sorry about some of the things I did in the past? And I might have offended you, and I might have talked about you, and I might have done you in a different way before I got saved. But after I got saved, I'm glad we can fellowship together." Amen. And I think that's part of what Paul is doing here. I believe that's part of this. And they probably were helping him, saying, Paul, you know what? We know where you're going. We know what's going on. And we're going to pray for you. And what can we do for it? Can we give you something? Can we give you some food? Can we give you some clothing? Can we give you some blankets? I mean, they're just trying to be a blessing and trying to help you. Isn't that what Christian brotherhood and fellowship should all be about? Well, so here he is. And if you'll look at this map, you'll see that here's Paul on this journey. Okay, they're going to leave Sidon, and they're going to go on the northward side of Cyprus. Now, when I read some of this stuff, I want to tell you, I ain't no sailor. Amen? I don't get leeward and southbound and starboard. I don't get any of that kind of stuff. And they start writing. I read some stuff on this, and this guy's writing like every one of us was sailors. And I'm like, just say left or right or up or down. I mean, I don't know where we're going. And then I said, I'm going to find me a map. We'll see where we're going. So, you know, that just helps me. I don't know. Maybe y'all know all that, and you've navigated the seven seas. I hope you have. But if you hadn't, you're like me. You need a map. Amen? And it kind of gives you an idea of how this journey is going. Well, tonight, just in the things that we're going to cover, and we're going to get this far right here. There's Lycia. Here is the Fair Havens. That's kind of the area we're going to right now. By the time we get here, we're talking somewhere between 950 and 1,000 miles on ship. That's a long ways. That's what we're covering tonight. And when you read in your Bible, it just says, well, we went there and went there and went there and went there. And you think, well, I just took a day. Well, no, it took quite a while. And I think that's part of the point I want you to see is that these are the things that they're having to put up with. But also remember this, Paul has done this in his younger days. His father was probably a trader. His father was probably on the sea. He probably took Paul with him as a young man. Paul learned a lot of things about the world, about languages, about cultures, about all the customs that he understood as he went from place to place. This is the way that he learned some of those things. So this is not unusual for Paul, and he's not in any kind of strange world. He knows what's going on. So here's Paul, and as I said, you see they showed courtesy to him, and here they are, and these men that are in charge of the ship, they have plotted a course. Amen? Can I tell you, a lot of folks plot a course in their life. But let me tell you, just like this, sometimes God can change your course. Sometimes God can change your course. As I said, you see here, they're headed here in our readings. This is what they're talking about. They come to the Fair Havens. Can you tell you where they were wanting to go next? They were wanting to simply go right here to the place called Phoenix, and it's called Phoenice here in the writing, but that's the more modern day. Phoenix is the name of the city. They're wanting to go there. You know what happens? Right along here is where the storm begins. And all of a sudden, they're off course. They're at sea. They're adrift. They're in a storm. And they wind all the way up here. We set our course for here. Yeah, but can I tell you something? In your life, you don't know where your course is going to be. I mean, today it may be all fun and games and smooth sailing and blue skies, but look out, honey. Something can happen at any moment that'll change the course of your life. So I want you just to see that, okay? Second of all, let's move on to the next thought, if you will, in this. Let's go to the storm, okay? So here's Paul, all these guys, and everybody that we've met, and they've gone from here to there, and here to there, and here to there. And you look in verse number 4, it said, when they had left Sidon, where Paul had refreshed himself with the brethren, and when he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, and because the winds were contrary. Already there's something going on, but we're going to press on anyway. Hey, are you that hard-headed too? Amen. If you ain't, go home, look in the mirror, and you'll find out, yeah, it's you. You are that hard-headed. Okay? And here we are. We sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary to what we wanted. It was contrary. Life can get contrary to your wants and your thoughts and your what I'm going to do's. Hey, it can get contrary. And it says, and when We had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. We came to Myra, a city of, and let's go back. You'll see this is where they wind up, in Myra. They wind up here. This is where they go. It's a city here of Lycia, that area called Lycia. So here's where they are. And as I say here, they got a course, they got a way, they got things, they got stuff that they're going to do. And listen to what it says there. It says in verse number 6, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Now, for some reason, the centurion didn't like the boat they were on. Didn't like how it was going, didn't like what it was doing. So you know what he said? Let's change boats. You ever seen people do that? I just don't like how things are going. I'm just going to change some things. I'm just going, this will make it better. This will make it work. This will all be fine. I'm just going to change my ship, if you will. Yeah, I'm going to change my boat. Well, can I tell you, under that storm, when you begin to look at that, let me just tell you what we're going to find. There are some things that are known to them, just like it is to us in life. Listen to what it says. And in verse number 7, it said, when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing by came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. And you just saw that. That's where they wound up. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, saying, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Don't you know, there are some things that are known of them. Everybody knew that. What are you saying? I'm saying right here in black and white, it says, now, when sailing was now dangerous, there came a day, according to the charts that sailors in that day followed, that said, look, here's a kind of a line. Don't go into any depth or length of sailing after this time. And you see that Luke gives us the idea. He said, because the fast was now already past. Now, the fast, what does that mean? That was simply a marking, and I believe in this day, I think, let me look at my notes and make sure. But in this day, September the 15th was the day that they had the fast. In our calendar, September the 15th was the day that they observed this fast before one of the great feast days. And they knew this, that when you go, if you get out on the sea in a big vessel, little vessel, it don't matter, the waters are going to get rough. Now, y'all ever pay very much attention to the television news? And as we get later on into the year, I mean, for a long time, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. But then one day it came up. Every year, those guys would say, we're entering hurricane season. You ever heard them say that? Well, you know what that means? The likelihood of hurricanes increases at certain times of the year. And it has to do with, you know, the heat and the lack of heat and the wind movement and the seas and, you know, all those kind of things. I don't know so much about meteorology, but you hear it and you know, hey, you don't need to be out there when this is going on. It's the same thing. They knew this. There are some things. Isn't it amazing that how some people are ready to bypass whatever they know? Well, I know that getting out here and running around with this wrong crowd could be bad for me, but I think I'll try it anyway. I think it'll be all right. I think I'll be okay. Yeah. Amen. I mean, there are some things that are known. Well, it just won't hurt me to take these drugs this one time. Amen. You ever heard that story? Y'all remember the story of a young man by the name of Lynn Bice? This has been several years ago. Len Bice was one of the best college basketball players in the entire country during his senior year. I think he led the league, the NCAA. He led them in scoring. He was a lightning quick. He seemed to be a good-natured, light-hearted fella, got along with his team. Everything was great. And they went to the NCAA tournament that year. Their team went to the tournament, and he was the outstanding player on their team. Had a sure multi-million dollar contract in the NBA. And one night, after all the hoopla, before the NBA draft, all of his buddies got together and they said, "Let's go out and have a party. You're going to be a rich man pretty soon, Len. Let's go out and celebrate." They took him out, and while they were there, somebody at the house where they were got out the little plastic bags and said, "Here's some cocaine." And Len Bice said, "Well, I've never done this before." "Oh, come on, Len, it won't hurt a thing, buddy. Let's celebrate. One time you're going to be good this for tonight. Don't worry about it." Len Bice laid his nose on a line of cocaine and snorted it. And not soon afterwards, his heart went into arrhythmia and he died in that house. Can I tell you, one time did it. One time was too much. One time, "Oh, but preacher, what about all that future, all that celebrity, all that good stuff that could have been there?" Is all gone over one little silly incident. Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying there's some things you know. I mean, you know better than that. You know better than some of these things that people get in. You know. The man that gets in an affair, he knows it ain't right. But he does it anyway. The guy that starts drinking with a drink knows that it could lead him down a bad path. The guy that starts gambling knows he could lose everything he's got. Amen? I mean, it's not like somebody's hid this over in a corner and said, "Well, nobody knows it." Yeah, we know that. That's exactly what I'm saying right here. These guys knew what could happen. They knew. There's some things that are known. Now, there are some things that are the unknown. Paul said unto them in verse number 10, he said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive." Boy, aren't you glad some folks got some Holy Ghost perception about them? "I perceive that this voyage will be much hurt. With hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." Paul said, "Hey, boys, y'all know what to." And let me just tell you, let's talk about the unknown. You could lose your life. What does he know? He's just a preacher. He's just a goody two shoes. He just don't want us to have any fun. Amen? I mean, that's what it sounds like. You know, The idea, and you'll understand this captain of this ship, you know what he's got in his mind? Dollars. "I got to get this to there, and I got so much time, and if I do, I'll get the money that I'm promised for this transport." That's what he's thinking. "I get them dollars." And Paul said, "I want you to know something, sirs. This could be bad. And it could end very badly if we don't take caution, if we don't listen, if we don't pay heed, if we don't pay attention." I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of folks out there in the graveyard tonight that didn't pay attention to some of the warning signs, the things that somebody said, "You know where this can go." And then there are some unknown things. We don't know what this can do to you. Do you realize what? Man, I'm telling you, I just find it hard to believe, but I mean, it's going on, right? Right now, they talk about the massive amounts of fentanyl and carfentanyl that are coming into our country across the Mexican border by all of these folks. And, you know, hey, this thing ain't just coming over here just for fun. Somebody's buying that. Somebody's taking that. And can I tell you, there's a lot of folks dying from taking that. Amen? Isn't that scary? I mean, you go up to somebody and they say, "Hey, I got some pills here, man." "Well, where'd those come from?" "Oh, don't worry about where they come from. I just got them." And they make you feel good. And, you know, they're this and they're that and the other. And they can tell you anything. But you don't really know, do you? Till you swallow that pill, what it will do to you. Amen? So I'm just telling you, you better be careful. Because there are some things that are known. And there are some things unknown that can really cause some serious problems and damage in your life. And Paul said, boys, we don't need to do this. You need to listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Amen? Ah, preacher, you just don't want us to have our fun. You're just an old fuddy-duddy. You're just a stick in the mud. You just don't like for nobody to do nothing different than what you're... We don't want that old religion you got. Man, there's folks with their heads lifted in hell tonight, begging and crying for one more opportunity. Send one more preacher down here and I'll turn over my ways to the Lord. Amen. Rich man, what did he say in hell? He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus just with one drop of water to cool my tongue. Can you imagine being in so much agony and pain and hurt that one little drop of water would be a relief for you in the torment that you're in? Man, I can't even imagine that. But that's what the rich man said. He didn't ask for a bottle. He didn't ask for a gallon. He didn't ask for a jug. He said, if you just let him dip his finger in there and just give me one little drop, and I'll be helped from this torment. And that's serious business, isn't it? The known, the unknown, and then the what does he know? Listen to what it says. Nevertheless, in verse number 11, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Well, what does he know? He's just a criminal. He don't know. Well, listen, they really did not like where they were. And look what the next verse says. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means that I might attain unto Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest. And I showed you where that was. That's where they intended to go. But they never got there. That's where they all voted and said, hey, let's go there. They never got there, did they? What are you saying? I'm saying, listen, the place where they were, you said, you know, they said, well, this ain't a good place. We want something better. We want something different. Can you hear people say that? Oh, I don't like where I'm at. I'd rather go over here. I don't like the one I'm with. I want to go over here. I don't like the things that are going on. I want to go over here. And it'll be better over there. Oh, my goodness. You better, yeah, that grass ain't always greener on the other side of that fence, is it? But they said, look, this place is we just don't like it. And you know what they did? They voted. Amen? They voted. And he said, what, how does it say it? It said that the more part advised to depart thence. The majority. Boy, let me tell you. Hey, folks, well, we'll go with the majority. The majority are headed for hell. The majority are going down that Broadway. The majority are going in that broad gate, and it's leading to a place of destruction. Amen? But here they are. Well, what does he know anyway? Well, why, we don't have to listen to him. Oh, that Bible's so old. Why do y'all even have a Bible anymore? It's so old. It's outdated. It's written years ago. Can I tell you, it's still the truth of God. That's why. Still the only thing that'll save a stinking, rotten, dying soul. Amen. Hey, boy, that's the way people are, though. But what does he know? What does he know? And that's what they told Paul. And the vote went against Paul, if you will. And, brother, you know where that led him? Look at the next part, if you will. Before we really get into the storm, I want you to look at this in verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And I just showed you in that picture there are several places back where they were. I mean, they were on the southern side flowing along and sailing along the edge of the little island nation there of Crete. There they were. And as they sailed along, They came to that place that's called the Fair Havens. Oh, it was a place to stop before. If you could look at that map real closely, the Fair Havens was here, and the landmass turns and goes north right here. It goes up, and then you go out south to where they were wanting to go to Phoenice. It's got a little turn to it. But can I tell you something? Man, that place was just right for the winds to come off of the land and cause a ruckus into the water. And that's what's about to happen. But it says here that they come to a place the next day, the south winds begin to blow softly. There's a lot of folks come to a place in their lives where the south wind blows softly. The devil paints the prettiest picture that he can lay out there for you. And there's they set out with those seducing winds that are blowing along. Hey, look, guys. Everything is pretty. Everything is not. Why, it's all just going to be fine. We're just sailing along. That old preacher don't know. Here, pass me another bottle of that whiskey. That preacher don't know what he's talking about. Here, let's go in here and gamble some more. He don't know what he's talking about. Oh, listen, I got the cards, boys. Let's break her out. Let's play poker. Put your money on the table. He don't know what he's talking about. Amen? Oh, we're laughing. We're drinking. We're partying. We're having a good old time. The south winds are blowing pretty softly then. Right? The south winds blow. Let me tell you. The next thing it says is there was some supposition going on. It said, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. The supposition means that they took it for granted that they had it made. No problems, no storms, nothing to slow us down, full speed ahead. That's the supposition. Now, I'm telling you, we all get into those places of supposition. Well, I just expect this thing to work out just fine. They'll never know. My wife will never know I'm running around on her. Amen. All them guys at work, they'll never know I'm doing them drugs. Oh, they'll never find it out at the bank that I've fudged and forged and cheated. And they'll never find it. Their bookwork gets so mixed up, they'll never figure it out. Amen. The suppositions come along. They suppose that they'd obtained their part. Well, boys, everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to be just fine. Well, look, the wind blowing. We're all having a big time. Y'all kick back. Everything's easy. No problems. Full speed ahead. I want you to notice one more thing. Here they are sailing close by the island in a place that they thought of safety. We're right here on the coastline. Anything happens, all we got to do is just, we're right here by the coast. I mean, we're right here on the edge. All we got, we just go this way. If anything happens, we're right here in a place where we can be safe and secure on land in just a matter of moments. Amen? I mean, that's what they thought. That's where they're, and there's a lot of folks like it. Well, if anything happens, I can call Mom and Daddy and they'll get me out of it. Anything happens, my wife will come down here and she'll rescue me. Oh, if anything happens, there's doctors and there's people that can, and they'll all pitch in and they'll get us through this. Suppositions. And that we're real close to what we need, and if anything happens, somebody will rescue us. Somebody will take care of us. Somebody will come and they'll meet our need. We're sailing, we're on our way, we're doing our thing, but they're right over there if we need them. Amen? Look at the next verse. We hadn't got there. We'll get there next week. It says, but not long after, there arose against it, against the ship, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. It's a mighty, that term Euroclydon was a term in their day for a storm blowing wind. I mean, if you watched the news again this week sometime, New York City had been doing pretty good. I heard them talking about it had been, I don't know, 2 years or over 2 years. They hadn't had very much snow. But you know what happened? Your Rockladen came along and blew them in about 12 inches. And they wake up and here it is. We got a foot of snow. And they, you know, it caused some problems. And in time past, it has been this same type storm that has come in a similar way that's knocked power out, that's gotten them damaged and gotten them people killed because everything was rocking along fine. Then all of a sudden, boom, here we are. Let me just tell you this, and we'll close, that your storm has a name. So there was a tempestuous wind. The wind came up, and it was called your Rockland. It had a name. Their storm had a name behind it. Your storm's got a name behind it, and I don't know what it is, and you don't know what it is till you get in the middle of that storm. But, buddy, it'll be stormy sailing and bad weather the whole time. Amen? I don't know where you are, but let me tell you this, in closing. This is a quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, "He is very unwise who trusts the winds, and equally so is he who sets his confidence upon any earthly thing. For fickle as the wind is that blows are all the things that are beneath the moon on earth." You don't know what's going to happen next, and I don't. Amen? Let's stand tonight, if you will, and we're going to just play a verse of whatever you want to. And, man, maybe you're here and you need to pray about some things. Maybe you're here and you got some burden. Maybe you're here and you think you got people fooled. Maybe you're here and you think, boy, I don't know what to do now. I've messed up. Can I tell you, Jesus is still looking for sinners to come. Jesus is still looking for folks that have made a mess. Jesus is still looking for folks to come and turn their lives over to Christ. So while we sing this song, we'll sing a verse of it. Just